Hamlet, Part 1. Everything was not well in the country of Denmark. The king was dead, and Gertrude, his queen, had married her husband's brother, Claudius. Some people suspected that Claudius had killed his brother so that he could marry Gertrude and become king of Denmark. Prince Hamlet had returned from his studies in Wittenberg to attend his father's funeral, and after that, his mother's wedding to his uncle Claudius. Prince Hamlet was troubled. He felt grief for his father's death and shame for his mother's marriage. How could his mother have forgotten his father so quickly? He had been a loving and gentle husband to her. Strange things were happening at the castle of Elsinore. Even the guards were afraid as they looked into the night sky. It was nearly midnight, and Francisco, a night watchman, was standing in the cold mist on the gun platform of Elsinore Castle. Footsteps echoed on the stone floor.
"Who's there?"
Francisco's voice was high and frightened.
"Long live the king!"
came a voice through the mist. It was Bernardo, who had arrived to take Francisco's place. As Francisco was leaving, Marcellus, another watchman, and Horatio, a friend of Prince Hamlet, arrived. Bernardo and Marcellus wanted to show Horatio something. For the past few nights, a ghost had appeared to them. It looked like the ghost of old King Hamlet, who had recently died. Horatio did not believe they had seen a ghost.
"It's just your imagination. There is no ghost," he said.
Just as Horatio spoke these words, the clock struck midnight, and the ghost came. It was pale, with a dark, silvery beard, and it walked with great sadness.
"I order you to speak,"
said Horatio, but the ghost did not answer. Horatio and Bernardo followed the ghost as it walked slowly around the gun platform. Once it lifted its head and was about to speak, but at that moment morning came and it vanished. Horatio trembled and looked pale. The ghost wore armour. This was a bad omen. Prince Fortinbras, the nephew of the King of Norway, wanted to invade Denmark, and Horatio felt that the ghost was warning them of danger.
"Quick, we must find young Hamlet. The ghost didn't want to speak to me, but it will speak to its only son."
In the great hall of Elsinore Castle, the court was assembled, and Claudius spoke solemnly.
"I can never forget my brother Hamlet. But life must go on. Young Fortinbras is a threat, and my nephew and my son, Prince Hamlet, is always so sad. You must understand, Hamlet, that all fathers die. All sons must lose their fathers,"
Claudius said to Hamlet.
"I wear black clothes, but I have more grief inside than you can see on my face,"
replied Hamlet. It was only once Claudius and his court had left that Hamlet could speak his true thoughts aloud in the empty great hall.
"My mother's marriage to Claudius disgusts me, and I am not sure how my father died. Claudius said that a snake bit him, but I suspect the snake to be my uncle Claudius. I am sure that the snake that killed my father now wears the crown."
These thoughts filled his mind.
"What should I think of my mother's part in this? Did she know of the murder? Did she even agree to it?"
This growing suspicion that his mother knew of the murder, or had even agreed to it, was driving Hamlet mad.
"Why are women so weak?"
he cried out.
"This incestuous marriage can only lead to disaster."
When Horatio, Bernardo, and Marcellus arrived to tell him their story, Hamlet listened. From their description of the ghost with the dark silvery beard, the young prince believed that they had seen his father's ghost.
"I'll watch with you tonight. Maybe the ghost will come again,"
he said to Horatio.
"I think it will,"
replied Horatio.
"If it looks like my father, I'll speak to it. See you on the gun platform." between 11 and 12,
Hamlet said. When night came, Hamlet took his place with Horatio and Marcellus. In the darkness, Horatio was the first to see the ghost moving towards them.
Look, my lord, it is coming. May the angels protect us,
Hamlet muttered,
because I don't know if you are a good or an evil spirit. I will speak to you and call you Hamlet, King, Father, Royal Dane.
The ghost beckoned to him. It wanted young Hamlet to follow him to a quiet place. Horatio and Marcellus tried to stop the prince from following the ghost. In its silvery armor, it looked so pale and terrifying that they were afraid it was an evil spirit sent to harm the prince. But Hamlet decided to follow him.
Dawn approaches,
said the ghost.
And I must return to purgatory.
Its body shook as it gave the deepest sigh.
Oh, poor ghost,
whispered Hamlet.
Don't pity me, but listen to what I must tell you,
said the ghost, as it drew Hamlet further away from where anyone might overhear their conversation. When it was sure that they were quite alone, the spirit told Hamlet that it was the ghost of his father, the king. He had been murdered by his own brother, Claudius, who wanted his wife and the crown of Denmark. It had happened as he was asleep in the garden one afternoon. His brother had come silently into the orchard and poured poison in his ear.
Revenge! I want revenge for the terrible murder,
the ghost said.
Claudius has poisoned Denmark and corrupted Gertrude, my wife. But I want you to leave your mother's punishment to God. Goodbye, Hamlet. Remember me,
the ghost said, and then it vanished. Hamlet returned to the others. He was agitated and afraid that Claudius might suspect that he knew more about his father's death. He decided to pretend to be mad. Hamlet's clothes, speech, and behavior became wild. The king and queen were concerned. They thought that the cause of this must be love. Hamlet loved a beautiful girl called Ophelia, the daughter of Polonius, the king's chief minister. He sent her letters and rings and had told her how much he loved her. Hamlet had not seen Ophelia much since his father's death, and Polonius had told his daughter to forget Hamlet. Claudius and Gertrude were sure that love was the cause of Hamlet's madness. So that he could find out more, Claudius had asked two of Hamlet's friends to come to the castle.
Welcome, dear Rosencrantz and Guildenstern,
said Claudius.
I sent for you because I need your help. Hamlet has changed, and I would like you to stay here and discover what's wrong.
I hope we can make Hamlet happy,
said Guildenstern, and they went to look for Hamlet.
What are you doing here at Elsinore?
Hamlet asked them when they met.
Visiting you, my lord,
said Rosencrantz.
Come on, tell me the truth,
replied Hamlet.
The king asked us to come,
said Guildenstern. Doubt about the ghost had been growing in Hamlet's mind.
I need more evidence,
he thought.
The ghost I have seen may be an evil spirit.
It was at that moment that a group of travelling actors arrived, and a plan came into his head. Hamlet asked the actors to stage The Murder of Gonzago the following night and include an extra speech. The plot was like the murder of King Hamlet. The play told the story of Lucianus, a relation of Duke Gonzago, who poisoned him in his garden and won the love of Duke Gonzago's wife. If Claudius was the murderer, then his guilt would show on his face as he watched the play.
With this play, he thought, I'll see if Claudius is the murderer.
The next day, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern visited the king and queen.
We don't understand why Hamlet is sad, but he is looking forward to the play.
Encouraged, Gertrude and Claudius agreed to see the play that evening. Claudius wanted to see Ophelia and Hamlet together, so he and Polonius hid where they knew they would meet. They were not disappointed, because when Hamlet entered, he was talking to himself.
To be or not to be? That is the question,
Hamlet wondered.
Is it better to live or die? Life is miserable, but because we do not know what will come in the afterlife, we have to live. I would like to die, if death were like a dreamless sleep. To die, to sleep, maybe to dream. That's the problem, for in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have left this mortal world.
His thoughts were interrupted by Ophelia. Controlled by her interfering father, Polonius, she had been sent to return Hamlet's letters and gifts. Hamlet was angry with all women. He saw them as weak, frail, and untrustworthy, because his mother had forgotten his father so quickly and married his uncle.
Go and live in a nunnery,
he told her.
It is better to do that than bring children into this world. It would have been better if my mother had not given birth to me.
He is mad,
Ophelia said, once Hamlet had gone. Claudius was alarmed at what he had heard. He realized that his nephew was a threat, and decided to send him to England with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern to collect some money he was owed.
After the play, let Gertrude speak to Hamlet,
Polonius suggested.
She will discover what is wrong with her son.
That evening, Hamlet anxiously showed the players how to act the parts he had written for them. Hamlet sat close to Claudius to watch his expression. The play began, and Claudius's face became white. When the murderer, Lucianus, poured poison in Gonzago's ear, Claudius stood up.
Light! Bring torches!
Claudius called to the servants.
I feel ill,
he said, and hurried from the theatre. The play was stopped, but Hamlet had seen enough. The words of the ghost were true.